Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to ask you, how's your tongue doing? I know some of you say, well, that's kind of a personal question, Greg, but really, I guess I need to be a little more specific. How are the mouths that you're using with your tongue and your lips, the words you're speaking, how's that working? How's that going? You know, the Bible has a lot to talk about the tongue and the incredible power that it has. Like a lot of things in life, we can use gifts God's given us, such as our tongue, to either bring blessings and life or curses and death. There's an old saying when I was a kid growing up, and I think parents probably still use it today, but it says, sticks and stones can break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. Well, friends, I think you'll agree with me. Now that I'm not a child and my early 50s, that's simply just not true, is it? I mean, words hurt, don't they? They really, really do. And wow, I know that like me, I'm sure a lot of you have stuck your foot in your mouth. And we regret that because of the pain and heartache and disappointment that we've caused others. But when we're on the other side of it, oh my goodness, words can sting. They really are, and they can be a double-edged sword, and you just have to be so careful. And yet, you know, the Bible helps us know that our tongues can be one of the most difficult things to control, and it can leave us with great regret if we use our words to hurt other people. But there's hope. That's why we do Hope Is Here. The Bible tells us that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have power and control over our tongue. And I'm going to share some Bible verses with you today, and maybe you want to do a word study on tongue and the Bible and words, and maybe these will help you. But I just really think a lot of people are like, well, I can't write a big check for a ministry, or I'm not a speaker. I get nervous speaking in front of people, or, man, I can't sing, make a joyful noise to the Lord describes me when I sing. But the fact of the matter is we all have the gift of communication. When I say it's a gift, if we use it well, it is a gift from God with our mouth and our tongue and the words that we use. And man, my good friend Manuel Scott has a great quote. He says, even on your worst day, you could be one person's hope. And people, we live in such an isolated culture now because of our smartphones, our cell phones. I mean, the great thing is we can communicate people all over the world through email and texting and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. But the fact of the matter is a lot of us are becoming more isolated. And just the words we can speak, whether they're verbal, in person, or over the phone, but especially when they're written and texting and emailing, they can be powerful. And I just want us to be people that bring hope to others with our words. And I just want to encourage you today with some scriptures that maybe will help you be a hope agent to somebody today. And I mean, just think if we all just said, God, just at least one person today, help me to bring hope to them through the words that I speak. Think about that. In 1 year, there'd be 365 people that we would make a difference in their life and brought hope to. In 10 years, that would be over 3,650 people. I think we'd all like that said about us, wouldn't we? And Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 is a great verse to start off with today. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Man, I love that. I mean, you know, it's so easy in our culture to be critical of people and look what people can't do or what they didn't do. And we have expectations of people, and yet, you know, we judge people. And yet, I just love Colossians 4:6 just simply says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but always full of grace. And friends, one of the things God's been showing me a lot in the past year is that, you know, I need to extend more grace and be a lot easier to distribute grace to people, even when they've treated me unfairly and hurt me, and give them the benefit of the doubt. Because, you know what? I'm going to need that same grace extended to me. And this is not a warm, fuzzy, friendly verse, but the Bible talks about you reap what you sow. And, man, if you don't sow grace to other people and exhibit grace to them when they don't deserve it, and, of course, the best description of grace ever heard, the acronym G-R-A-C-E, spelling out the word grace, is grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. The only reason we've been given grace is because of all that Jesus went through. And it's a great reminder that Jesus did it for the person that offended us and hurt us also. And so I want to encourage you today to be a person that Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, there's nothing worse than having a meal and it just doesn't have much taste to it. And you have to be careful. You don't want to add too much salt, but, man, you put a little salt in there, a little seasoning, nothing better than on these hot days and a good piece of watermelon with a little salt on it, maybe, just to give it a little flavor. And I want to ask you, how about your conversation? Is it seasoned with salt? Does it have flavor? Is it uplifting? Is it something that people are attracted to in you? And friends, trust me, if you're positive and uplifting and your words are full of grace and edifying to people, then people will be attracted. You will have friends. There's no doubt about it. If you don't, maybe you need to look at your word choice. Are you critical? Are you negative? And it's not something that we really enjoy to hear. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but the fact of the matter is, friends, I think it's an area we can all grow in. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says to us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, one of the best things we can do is ask somebody how they're doing and really listen. Or just find one positive thing. If you see somebody wearing a shirt or blouse that you like, hey, you know, that's a cool-looking shirt. Or, hey, I like that blouse. Or, hey, is that something new? But, you know, one of the things I've noticed a lot of times when I've tried to give people a compliment, or vice versa, when somebody gives me a compliment, we deflect it. Instead of saying just the simple words, thank you, we say, I've had this for 3 years. Or, oh, I got this on the 75% off discount rack at Goodwill. And you know, God said to me one day, Greg, I send people sometimes to give you a compliment. It's one of my angels in disguise. I know you're struggling, a little bit down. Life's been kind of hard. You're in a challenging season of life. And I send somebody to give you a compliment and bless you. And yet you're like, you start making excuses or deflecting that. And I want to encourage you today, if somebody gives you a compliment about a haircut or have you lost weight, even if you haven't, somebody did that to me the other day, and, man, I just wanted to hug them and kiss them. I was like, thank you so much. And I really hadn't. I said, you know, I haven't. They go, are you sure? I said, no, I actually weighed myself this morning. I haven't, but thank you so much. I said, you just made my day. And so I would encourage us to, with our mouths, also when somebody does give us a compliment, to just receive those, because that could be an angel in disguise. The Bible talks about that God sends his angels in disguise to help us and benefit us. You know, one of the other verses that's really helped me a lot throughout my life is in James, where it talks about be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And I've heard a person say one time, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so maybe he was trying to tell us proportionally we need to listen twice as much as we speak. And I tell you, man, that can help keep us out of a lot of trouble, wouldn't it, if we would obey that, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I've had several friends that have had to go into important meetings, several of them were job interview meetings, and God, as I pray for them, just give me that verse, and I text it to them just saying, you know, I'm praying for you for your meeting or your interview, and I want to encourage you today just to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And that goes against our culture because everybody, you know, opinion, we think it matters and we need to exhibit it. And so I just yeah, I've shared it with these people, and they've texted me back and said, you know, I really need to hear that because I'm a little nervous, and sometimes I'll talk too much. And especially when you're in an interview or maybe an important meeting, you want to let people know that, hey, you know your stuff, and you are knowledgeable. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I know you have to speak in interviews and meetings, but I just want to encourage us as followers of Jesus to be a little more quick to listen and slow to speak. Psalm 141, chapter 141, verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Man, that's a great reminder, isn't it? To ask God to help you with that. Psalm chapter 34, verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. And there was a guy one time I knew that he really struggled with telling the truth. And I was asking some guy, another mutual friend, I said, hey, you think so-and-so's telling the truth? He said, well, you know how I can tell if he's lying? I was like, how's that? He said, his lips are moving. Ouch. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that once you tell one lie, it's easier to tell another. And, man, just want to encourage you today to ask God to help you keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Obviously, a lot of people, women know Proverbs chapter 31. I think most women aspire to be a Proverbs chapter 31 woman. But verse 26 out of Proverbs 31 says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And, you know, my mom's one of the wisest people I know. She has a lot of wisdom. And the one thing I love about my mom, she'll tell you the truth. She does it in love, so I'm thankful for that. But you know what? There's a lot of wisdom for our parents. And, you know, a lot of people that listen, maybe your parents have passed away. And yet, I want to remind you that, man, listen to the wisdom of your father and mother. And, you know, there's wisdom there in their mouths, and ask them and find out what is it that, you know, maybe you think I should do in this situation. And I love also the reminder also in Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28 says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. So friends, I think just the word of wisdom today is that let's really focus on maybe being wiser about our word choice, about how often we speak, and maybe not sharing our opinion unless somebody asks it. And I know that's hard because I'm a type A personality, and I like to share, and I like to be able to help people. And I think God has given me some wisdom from my life experiences and education. But maybe that's a word for somebody today is that, you know, I'm just not going to share my opinion on a situation. You know, I feel strongly unless I'm asked. And if they do, share it in love. But I hope some of these Bible verses have helped you today. And I hope that maybe you'll remember this as you're speaking in conversations today or in things you text. And make sure that you use your words wisely. And I close with Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. This shows the power of words. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's be people that speak words of love, encouragement, and hope, and be a light and bring somebody a hope today. And if we could do that for one person each day, think about that. 365 people a year, over 3,600 in a lifetime, we could bring hope simply by our words. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
To go to the next level, you have to change the way that you think. There is way more inside of you than you can imagine.
Everyone has influence. Come to the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th and learn skills to help you lead transformation. The summit features high-impact leaders like Craig Groeschel, Angela Ahrens, T.D. Jakes, and more. Experience the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th. Register today at willowcreek.com/summit or call 800-570-9812 and use the priority code RADIO.
Local host site in Central Kentucky is Lex City Church. Check them out online at lexcity.church.